Wisconsin Vegetable Garden Radio Show with your hosts, Joey and Holly Baird.
It's the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show right here on WNOV 860 AM and W293CX 106.5. The Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener.com is your destination for all things gardening. Over 900 garden related videos, short and long format, all to help you. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram's all there as well. Go and explore. Let us know what you think and let us know how you found out about the show. Composting. It's a simple task that everybody can perform, and it doesn't take a whole lot of effort.
No, it can be simple, and then it can be more complicated or scientific, I guess, is one of the things you could say. And so the first type of composting I want to talk about is called the anaerobic composting.
Okay.
I want to compost, but I don't want to put a lot of thought into it. Composting.
Simple composting.
Simple composting, okay. Right? It's also known as cold composting.
Which is what we perform.
Right, which is what we perform. Now, there are some good and bads, and one of the goods is that you don't have to overthink it. You just put your food scraps or your leaves, your weeds, your yard waste in it. But however, if the yard waste is diseased or has possible chemicals sprayed on it or... So either of those, you don't want to put that in there.
But the disadvantage to the cold composting is you don't have the internal temperature that heats up that kills the seed, the viability in the seed, which we'll talk about in a moment in the hot composting. And with composting in general, based on where you're located, there's certain things you don't want to put in your compost and certain places your compost cannot be.
Right. So you might have to, you might live in an area where compost has to be off the ground or in a contained container or... you might have the possibility of pests. So if you live in the country on 35 acres, you don't have to necessarily worry about that.
And it's away from your residence. You can throw bones, meat, grease, whatever you want in that pile. If you're in the city, you want to avoid dairy, meat, greases,
bones,
all that. Because
you could attract pests.
That's the main thing. You're going to attract pests. It will eventually break down, but the odor and the invitation of insects, animals that you don't want will come, and then your property will be the most popular place in the neighborhood.
And it does stink. Cold composting does not smell good.
Right.
I mean, not all the time, but on really hot days or if you kind of mix it up or whatever, it's going to smell. So then we have aerobic composting, which is the process of it getting hot, and it's also known as hot composting. And you're using the balance of science to work for you.
Carbon and nitrogen, browns and greens. The recommendation is about 50% of each type of material. Browns can be shredded paper, dry grass clippings. That would be a nitrogen source. Shredded leaves, straw. Any type of brown material, cardboard. I mean, some people have glues, but
sticks.
Yeah. Some people believe the glue has a toxicity. I go ahead and throw it in there anyway. And the nitrogen sources can be greens of any sort, kitchen scraps, coffee. Use coffee grounds is considered a nitrogen source. Though the grass clippings, and then together there's a science that occurs where it heats up internally. And it can get 150, 160 degrees, 170 degrees inside of the internal portions. And then the repetitive of turning the compost, some people believe, accelerates the compost process. Some people will just allow that internal portions to heat up. But the downside to that is if you don't mix it, you don't get the outer portions internally to kill the viability off on those weed seeds, which is 72 hours of at least 150 degrees Fahrenheit to get those seeds to bake them basically and kill the germination of those seeds. And that's crucial if you're going to distribute that compost back in your garden. If you don't have those weed seeds killed, you're going to reintroduce those weed seeds into your garden and you're back at square one.
Right.
What we do, because we cold compost, we will take that compost and put it the bottom quarter to a third in our containers and then pour fresh certified leaf compost on top of them and smother out and just use it as a filler for our containers. So that's how we stretch our store-bought compost with our homemade compost, simply because we just don't turn it, and that's a choice that we have chosen to make.
Right. So then there's also vermicomposting, or some people for short call it vermiposting. And that is where you have the oxygen and moisture present But you're using worms to break down the compost.
You can create your own vermicompost or worm bin in your house and allow your kitchen scraps, and you grind them up or based on what type of ingredients. There's certain things that worms don't care much for, which is like citrus skins, orange skins, but small amounts of that introduced can use, they'll feed off that. And you can buy these worms online. And the nice thing about the worm compost, it's very rich in nutrients, but the worms will only populate or reproduce to the point where they know that the bin is too full. Let's say you have a 30-gallon Rubbermaid tote. And there's ways of you can make this, or you can purchase one. Once the worms sense that they are out of room, they will stop reproducing. And you can divide them and create another bin, or sell them, or give them away, that type. But you don't, these are special worms. You don't want to take these worms and put in your garden. These are most of the time considered called red wigglers, which are a worm that is very, that'll eat the compost very regularly, very rapidly.
Right. So the red worms eat pretty much anything. And then, so that's why.
You don't want to put your bones and grease and oils in there, because that will kill the worms.
But there are other worms that are just going to eat maybe just what they like.
Right.
But the red worms do eat pretty much everything, and they also eat the microbes. And then what the worm castings is what is also beneficial, which is basically worm poop.
Right. And you can use that worm castings as top dressing, or sprinkle on top of the pots that your plants are growing in, inside or outdoors. And you can save some stuff going to landfill. You can have a little, fun thing for if you have kids, or just to, make yourself feel good because you're doing something positive
and
for the environment.
And when you do this, you still want to take a handful of worms and toss them in your compost heap.
No.
You're going to have to make basically a worm bin, or you can buy a worm bin. But either way, you can make one pretty easy with like a Rubbermaid type container, a large Rubbermaid container.
There's plenty of videos online.
There's a lot of videos.
And there's very nice ones that you can purchase as well.
Well, yeah, you can buy them too, but you can also make them.
Right. And that's the thing. So, however you compost, wherever you compost, the recommended, and again, when I say recommended, I'm talking about the people online, and you can take that for however serious you want to. The recommended size of an outdoor compost pile is 1 cubic yard, which is 3 foot by 3 foot by 3 foot cube, or three, whatever that is, 27 cubic feet. That's an awful large compost pile for most urban garden backyards. You don't have to have it that big. As long as you follow the recommended rates and do some research online, just don't take our word for it. Go out and throw some junk on a pile in the backyard. Do a little research, because it makes your life a whole lot better and disappointment a whole lot less whenever you decide to try any of the projects you see online or you hear from us on the program here. So is that all the composting that we want to cover? There's other composting practices, but I wanted to cover those are the main.
Those are the main three, and I think that if you wanted to go anything beyond that, you would definitely have to do some research. But that's basically what it comes down to.
And again, ground or in a trash can. With a trash can, we have a 30-gallon trash can with holes, plastic, drilled multiple, lots of holes, dozens of holes, to allow the oxygen to get in there. So it's off the ground, so it's not physically on the ground, and it's enclosed to where you can keep critters out of it.